Father John Hallowell is one of our priests here in the deanery of Terre Haute, and he has a story that he tells that that I very much love. Father Hallowell loves being a priest. I mean, he's a very, very good priest, and he wears his clerics all the time. I mean, it's very, very rare that you'll ever catch Father Hallowell in what I call civvies, or his street clothes. You know, blue jeans and a t-shirt, probably not going to happen. So anything that he ever does, you know, he's wearing the collar. You know, he is in his priest garb. And that includes just day-to-day tasks like going to the grocery store, picking up groceries. On this specific date, he was going grocery shopping, went into the local grocery store there in Brazil, wearing his full, you know, priestly getup. And he got in there, and no sooner had he gotten in the door than someone came walking towards him, you know, wagging their finger at him. And he looked at him, and the man said, are you a Catholic priest? And Father Hallowell just kind of looked down. He was like, yeah. And the man says, why? I have an issue with you. Father John kind of rolls his eyes, and he's just like, you know, what, you know? And the man said, well, and he quoted today's gospel. He says, Jesus taught us that we're not supposed to call anybody on earth our father. And here you Catholic priests go around and everybody calls you father. And like, what gives? How can you explain yourself to me? And Father Hallowell, you know, just again rolled his eyes, and he started explaining, you know, that when we become a priest, you know, we quite literally marry the church. And in doing so, you know, the church is our mother, and so we become a father to our spiritual children, and that Christ was talking about father being a position of power and domineering over other people. And as a priest, you know, being a spiritual father, we're a servant, we're humbled by that. You know, that it's not relatable to what Christ is teaching us in Scripture. And no sooner had he gotten done, you know, with this explanation of why we call priests father, than one of his parishioners came into the grocery store, big smile on their face, and they saw him and said, hey, father, how you doing? Love that story. And it's true. It looks like on the surface level, we're not following what Christ taught us. But the reality is, we recognize when Christ is teaching us this, it's an image of father or master or leader that is taking advantage of others. But the priest is something else entirely. We call him father because he lays down his life for us. He gives all for his people, for his children. There's one day I was navigating through Pinterest, of all things, which, by the way, a lot of people think of Pinterest as like a girly thing, you know, where you get recipes and you see home decorations. Let me tell you, Pinterest has got some great stuff on John Wayne quotes and hunting tips and all this, you know, manly stuff, you know, yeah. So I was on Pinterest, love Pinterest, and there was this quote on there that popped up that I just loved, and it was about priesthood. And I'd like to read it for you. It just said, the priest, no matter where he is located, the diocesan priest has to be the sharer of secrets, the carrier of heavy burdens, the fountain of consolation, and a pillar of strength. Solitary, he is called father by thousands. Poor, he enriches the lives of thousands. Weak, he gives strength to thousands. Unimportant, he does things each day whose importance cannot be told in any tongue on earth. He is never too busy to hear another's sorrows. Often he is too busy to realize his own burdens. He is a 24-hour-a-day man. He is called from his dinner, wakened from his sleep, disturbed at his prayers. He is at the beck and call of any and all of his people. He is the target of God's enemies and the magnet of God's needy. Occasionally he attracts attention, but usually he works unnoticed and unacclaimed while he does the noblest work on earth, bringing Christ to his people. That's what priesthood is. Sadly, Many in our world and even in our church don't quite grasp what it is. They don't quite see it for what it is. I know when I was studying in college seminary, I worked in the factories over the summer months, and you're working with this guy next to you, and he knows you're at college, and so he asks you inevitably, he's like, well, which college do you go to? Well, Marion College. Back then it was Marion College, now it's Marion University. He said, well, that's great. You know, what are you studying at Marion? Philosophy. What the heck are you going to do with a philosophy degree? And I would tell them, I'm studying to be a priest. And the reaction ranged from anything from confusion to outright anger. Very unkind words were spoken, or words without meaning. They just kind of be like, well, that's nice. And yet, you could tell that they were mystified by it. There was something there that got their curiosity. We even see it in pop culture. You know, anytime that there's a story or a character or something going on that needs some weight to it or needs something of self-sacrifice, they emulate, whether they know it or not, they emulate the priesthood. I mean, just look at Star Wars, for instance, this great epic, you know, that has spanned the decades. And what are the great individuals in that? They're Jedi Knights. These people that can't marry, they give their life to protect the universe. Or the more recent Game of Thrones, the famous book series and now TV series, there's a faction in there of men that all they do is they protect the realms of men. They are on the northern border and they fight off these unspeakable evils that rage in the north. Even their pledge that they say reflects what we hold priesthood to be. They say, night gathers and now my watch begins. It shall not end until my death. I shall take no wife, hold no lands, father no children. I shall wear no crowns and win no glory. I shall live and die at my post. I am the sword in the darkness. I am the watcher on the walls. I am the fire that burns against the cold, the light that brings the dawn, the horn that wakes the sleepers, the shield that guards the realms of men. I pledge my life and honor to the night's watch for this night and all the nights to come. People are inspired by what priesthood is, that sacrifice that is made. And we have a chance to give back to that. Now, this is a shameless plug, but next weekend, we are going to be taking up our pledges for United Catholic Appeal. And this happens every year. We send off these monies to the Archdiocese. And a lot of times we think to ourselves, well, what's it going to? You know, I'd rather give my money to the parish where I can see the ministries that it's attached to. I can see what it's doing. But here's the thing, folks. We're in a vocation crisis. We do not have enough priests to man the churches that we have. Now, thankfully, right now, we have 24 men that are in formation. They're being trained in this. We have 21 deacons who were just ordained on June 24th of this year. And the monies that we give, the prayers that we say for these men makes a difference. And more than that, we also have those priests who, after giving all for a lifetime, are now retired, and they have no monastery to turn to. They have no mother house that they can retire to. They're solely dependent upon our generosity. Right now, we have 40 priests that are retired, that have given all to serve the people of God. Now, thankfully, with United Catholic Appeal, 51% of what we give goes towards those causes, for priesthood, for those who have served and served again. But the monies go towards other things as well. It also goes towards a lot of our education programs, our young adult programs, our youth ministry, students in our schools. There's also the Catholic Charities that it services, and even some of that money comes back here to Terre Haute, to our Catholic Charities that we have just next door. In fact, last year alone, the Archdiocese of Indianapolis was able to give food, clothing, and shelter to 209,000 people in southern Indiana. 209,000 people that otherwise would have gone hungry, cold, and without a place to rest. Next week, we have a chance to give back to those who serve, to give our thanks for the lifetime of dedication and service. All of us should have received in the mail envelopes, pledge cards. We ask that you bring those with you. If you haven't already sent them off to the Archdiocese, to bring them with you next week. We'll also have them in the pews. And just as we did for our Commitment Sunday, we'll have a basket up here in front before the altar so that we can show our respect and our honor to those who have given all to us. Amen.